Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
One of the more marvelous characteristics of the religion of Jesus Christ, New Testament Christianity, and it has to do with communication between God and man. We're talking about the communication with which man is able to express himself unto God. This, of course, we know is prayer. It's a marvelous thought to think that God would even entertain our thoughts, seeing His majesty and our undeserving qualities. But we learn from Scripture that prayer does reflect a God-man relationship. But something that is even far more intimate and warm than that. It is a father-child relationship. And without going into the repetition of some of the things we have said before, we just want to emphasize that the Bible teaches that this marvelous privilege of prayer belongs to those as one of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We asked the question last time, why pray? And the first answer to which we referred was, it reflects our own recognition of dependence and shows that we are not self-sufficient, and we realize that we're not self-sufficient, and that there are matters and times in life when we desperately need help. But more than that, too, we pray because we wish to show a love and respect unto God. Therefore, we do not look upon prayer, just as we do not look upon any of our religious responsibilities, as a burden, or just something that is imposed upon us and expected of us. It is indeed a beautiful blessing that we enjoy and a privilege. But we also pray because we are assured from the Word of God that God hears and answers our prayer. We may not always understand His answer. The answer may not always be in the way that we have requested or in the way that we might expect. This we rely upon the all-sufficient, inspired Word that tells us God does hear and God does answer. At the same time, we learn from Scripture that prayer is not to displace and to be a substitute for human endeavor. While we pray, we also put forth our best. God, having already provided us certain capabilities and capacities, He expects us to utilize that He has already given us, and then couple that with prayer. God, in His providence, has assured us He will attend to the matter in the way that He in His infinite wisdom sees is best. Now that does not mean that God will always answer prayer in the way and manner that we might think is best. And here again it turns our attention to our dependence on God and our reliance upon His wisdom. We oftentimes possibly pray and things do not turn out as we would like or as we might expect. And we're prone to suggest that God hasn't answered our prayer. But God may well have answered that prayer, but He has answered it according to what He thinks is best for us. We began a study of the characteristics of prayer, and we noted that prayer must be offered in faith. Indeed, it would be sacrilege, it would be hypocrisy, it would be pretense to offer prayer unto God and not even believe in the power of prayer or that God hears prayer or believe in that for which we pray. And obviously we should pray with a sincerity and a humility and to pray without ceasing. That is, to constantly maintain our manner of life in such fashion that we're always on speaking terms with God. And to realize constantly our dependence upon God and to be in a prayerful attitude at all times. We proceed further with looking at some of the characteristics of an acceptable prayer, and in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 13, Paul said, I will pray with the understanding. The substance of our prayer must be in keeping with a proper understanding of the Word of God. After all, it's in the Word of God that we read about prayer, isn't it? It's in the Word of God where we learn of these characteristics of prayer. It's in the Word of God where we learn about the will of God. And if we do not have an understanding of those things of the Word, how could we pray? There we learn why to pray. There we learn how to pray. There we learn to whom to pray. There we learn for what to pray. So we must pray with an understanding of the will of God. And I would like to suggest to you here that one of the more comforting aspects of God's care for His people is in this particular matter of prayer. Whereas we pray with understanding, there are times and there can be times in people's lives that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Our wisdom is limited. We are finite creatures. We realize that we want to offer our prayer unto God, and we may not know how to pray as precisely and with as much understanding as we ought to have. And I think that I have been in the presence, in the company of people who were so pressed with sorrows and burdens upon their heart and anxieties that have just pressed them to the utmost, that they were really not able to verbalize prayer because of the frustration that had just about overtaken them. I've been in the presence of people like that. In times of grief, in times of unexpected loss. And here is a passage of Scripture, dear people, that should give us great comfort, those who are in Christ. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That teaches us that when we are so burdened, and the groanings here, I contend, are the groanings of man as he bemoans his situation and mourns over the situation, that he knows not how to properly utter these things, yet he needs God's help. But how can he call upon God's help? He's so burdened down that he doesn't know how. Well, those who are in Christ have the Spirit's intercession. And the Spirit, in a sense, takes our groanings, lays them before the Almighty who knows the hearts of men, and God hears as if we had prayed ourselves. That being true, regardless of what despair might overtake us, friend, we are never alone in this life, are we? Even in the darkest hours of human suffering, God hears even our groanings due to the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Prayer, of course, is to be offered in the name of Jesus Christ, which means by His authority and according to His will. Jesus taught in John chapter 14, 13 and 14, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. To do something in His name is to be done by His authority, which implies necessarily according to His will. And when we pray in such fashion, here's the assurance He hears and responds. And we can always know, though we may not always comprehend and understand, deity does. Because, as the book of Hebrews speaks of Christ being our great high priest, the high priest that is passed into heaven, he said, we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now we try, do we not, as best we can to understand one another and to be sympathetic to each other, but we must recognize that we always have certain limitations to that extent. But there's nothing that overcomes us and besets us in life that God doesn't know and that Christ doesn't understand. And He is the one through whom we pray. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, either for salvation or in prayer or anything else. Our approach to the Father is Christ. And He is our mediator and our intercessor, and He understands and He knows. And therefore, when we lift up our voices in prayer, we want to do this with respect to Christ and His will. And it would apply to prayer just as does anything else religiously. Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of, by the authority of, the Lord Jesus Christ. These things to me emphasize the glorious blessing of prayer, but where there is a blessing, there is also a corresponding responsibility. And there is that which God expects of us in order to make prayer work, if you please. And the wise man Solomon has stated it in this fashion in Proverbs 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination. Now, as we think of the glory of prayer, and it looked like the glory of prayer and the word abomination simply wouldn't even be found in the same discussion, because certainly prayer is not abominable, but in the sight of God, it can be that way. How? Because of us. What about us? Those that will not hear and heed, those that will turn away our attention from the law of God. God does not promise to hear the prayer of such. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter expresses it probably even a clearer fashion. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now this tells us, dear friend, that as we live our lives here upon this earth, if we do not keep the commandments of God, it would be a useless activity on our part to lift up our voices in prayer. Because God is telling us already, I won't hear you. As we might put it in more common language, we're not on speaking terms with God when we live unrighteous lives. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, Jesus said, and whatsoever, John said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Notice, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, we ask, we receive, when we keep His commandments. And what if we don't keep His commandments? Is the privilege of asking and receiving to abide anyway? Well, certainly not. You see, we always should order our lives in such fashion that we can approach with great reverence and awe and respect the Almighty in prayer. Otherwise, when we fly into the face in rebellious ways against the God of our fathers and the God of Christ and the Father who will judge us, we need not call upon Him in prayer. Now, Jesus also taught in Matthew chapter 6, words that sometime have been misunderstood. Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What do we see here? We see those who, in Jesus' day, and God be the judge of any others, that go through the religious activities in such a fashion, and with such an attitude, and such a manner, that would be designed to bring glory to themselves so that others might see them and note them as being so pious and so religious. Jesus referred to the very ones whom He's talking to like this as hypocrites, pretenders. He said, don't do like that. But now He said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, that doesn't mean literally to go into your closet, but don't be so showy about what you try to do in your prayer to God. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Prayer is not to be made in such a fashion, and brethren have a difficult time, I'm sure, we sympathize with this, when they come before the congregation to pray. They should not be concerned about, how did I sound? And I don't think my brethren have that as their concern. They do want to be concerned about the thoughts that they present because they have the awesome responsibility of leading the hearts and minds of all the brethren to go to the throne of God, and that's no little task to undertake. And we appreciate brethren who thoughtfully offer prayer unto God on our behalf in our public worship, do we not? So that in our hearts we can say amen, so be it, and stand in agreement. But these things are not to be done in an ostentatious way, in a showy sort of a way, to appeal to others. But our prayer should be so genuine, and so sincere, and so personal, and so meaningful, and so humbly offered, it would be as if we had pulled away to ourselves. This is a matter between me and God. And your prayer is a matter between you and God. And that kind of prayer, that's not done for show, but done because you love God and you are God's child and you see your need of God. God has said He will reward you openly. Then He said this, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I heard a man one time erroneously comment on this verse and said, now this proves we ought not have long prayers. Well, it doesn't prove any such thing as that. He thought much speaking, you see. But that's not what he's talking about. We're not to think that simply because we repeat over and over a thing, that the mere repetition of a thing makes it of some veracity and validity. And Christ is not teaching against repetition. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times he went from his apostles just before he was seized by his enemies and prayed the same prayer repeatedly. He's not opposing repetition. He's not necessarily opposing long prayers, if such be the case, because he would pray sometime all night. We're not to think that that's the ingredient that makes a prayer acceptable because we are wordy, or because we stay in prayer a long time, or because we just in vanity repeat over and over a certain formula. And by the way, that just calls to mind another thing. I get a little bit perturbed at some of the brethren who like to bash the church, talking about our cliches in prayer, saying the same old things in prayer. Don't really mean it, they say. I've often wondered how they know that. How they know a man that might say a phrase that has been repeated 1,000 times in the course of years in prayer. How do they know he doesn't mean that? They have no right to judge the heart of a man that comes before the congregation and expresses himself in prayer, and possibly he uses somewhat the same words that somebody else has used prior to him. And I've asked one time, how many ways is there, for instance, to thank God for the unleavened bread? Just how many different ways can you do it? You see, they always want something new and something novel. And if someone should pray, for instance, pray that the preacher might have a ready recollection of the things that he has prepared. Is it that old, same old song and dance every time? Let me tell you, if you was a preacher, it wouldn't be the same old song and dance. He sure hopes he'll try to remember the things that he tried to prepare. And just because that phrase has been used many times, and be with us until we return again, just because that phrase or something similar is used many times, that in no way is to be looked upon as something that's insincere. Who made those people judges of people's hearts to declare that those things are insincere anyhow? But just to say things without meaning certainly would be vain. And just to say things over and over and think by the mere repetition of them that this is going to make the prayer of some efficacy, that's what Jesus is saying is not so. Let me hurriedly now just point out what Christ has taught are to be included as the acceptable elements of prayer. Obviously, adoration and praise and worship. When he was teaching his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, he began, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Certainly that's adoration and praise. And then it is proper to pray with thanksgiving. We touched upon this briefly this morning in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Paul said, Thanks be to God, who giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why should not we thank God? After all, He's the giver of every good and perfect gift, is He not? James 1 and verse 17. It's never too much to say thank you to anybody that has become your benefactor. Sometimes, possibly, our prayers may be top-heavy with request and a little short on seeing the blessings that God has already given us and being thankful and grateful for that. There's a wonderful song that we sometimes sing, Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. I challenge you, in a kind way, you take the time to start counting the good blessings that you have in life. And I dare say you'll grow weary of thinking before you will exhaust even the things that come to your own mind. And why should we not be grateful unto God for both material and temporal blessings, for our associations here on earth, but the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ? It's proper, of course, to raise our voice in petition unto the Father. Paul said, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be anxious for things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now let's notice this one little thought right here as we bring this sort of to a close. We do not go to God in prayer and make our petitions unto God and ask God for things because He doesn't know what we need. He even knows what we want. And He certainly knows what we need. So we don't pray, we don't ask God for blessings because we are informing God of anything. We ask God for blessings because by that we give our recognition unto the Father that we realize He is the source of our blessings. That's the reason we ask Him. We know He already knows. God is all-knowing. We can't tell God. We can't be His counselor or advisor. We're not informing Him of anything. But here is an opportunity to give recognition to the fact that we know He knows. And we know who it is to whom we look for the blessings that we need. It's proper to pray for the physical needs of life. It's proper to pray for guidance through His Word that's given to us and the wisdom to apply that knowledge. It's proper to pray as Christian people for the forgiveness of sins. This is what Peter told Simon the sorcerer to do in Acts chapter 8. Repent and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. It's proper to pray for those who are less fortunate, those who are sick, those whom we need to help, and there we need a cup of prayer with work. It's proper to pray for our families. It's proper to pray for the leaders of our nation. There are so many things for which we properly offer petition unto God. And in this fashion we know and we show God, we know the fountain from which all blessings flow. It is from Thy bountiful hand. And we give recognition of this by the very fact that we lift our hearts and voices to Thee to ask petition for them. Brethren, prayer is an avenue that God has provided for us to worship Him. It's a blessing and a privilege, and we should be among those who pray without ceasing. The failure to pray is, in essence, to ask for defeat. Who among us really thinks that we can live this life successfully without God and His help? Surely we have not become so arrogant and self-sufficient as we think that we can handle this job all by ourselves. People have tried it down through the centuries of human history, always to fail. We simply do not have that kind of capacity within us. And we're asking for defeat if we don't ask for God's help. And to fail to take advantage of this privilege of prayer, we show a lack of faith and a lack of love. But on the other hand, when we humbly and reverently and fervently and sincerely bow our hearts and minds and verbalize our prayers unto God, we're praising Him. This is the way that He has provided that we honor Him. And we're taking advantage of one of the greatest blessings and benefits that God has provided to the human family. So we would admonish each one to think seriously about the utilization of prayer. It's a marvelous thought. It's almost beyond our comprehension that any one of us who are faithful in Christ can command the attention, and I don't use command like God hear me now, bossing Him or anything. We can have the attention of God, the Creator. There are billions of people on this earth, yet even one of you can get the ear of the Almighty. There is a power open unto us through prayer from which we cut ourselves if we don't utilize prayer. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of, one poet has said. So we would leave this thought with you. As Paul has said, pray without ceasing. Keep your life in such fashion that God will have His eyes and ears open to your heart. Order your lives in such fashion that you'll always be living reverently before Him, and take advantage of this matchless power and blessing that God has given. And don't let a day go by. You know, there's a wonderful song we sing. As you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Well, we may not have thought to pray when we left the actual room, but the idea that I get from all of that is when you begin your day, ask God to go with you. Offer your prayer unto God at the beginning of day. During the course of the heat and the hectic life that you have to go through every day in your various responsibilities, take thought and time to pray. Even as you drive along, your thoughts can be in prayer. And when you come to the closing shades of night, don't let a night end or come upon you without having called upon God in prayer. And I would like to encourage everyone to do this, and this is just something as a suggestion that I think is worth thought. There are those of your acquaintance who need your prayer especially. You know somebody that's sick, distressed, saddened. You know the names of your own family, your children, your grandchildren, many of us. You know the names of your mother, possibly your father still with you. Others, take their name before God in prayer. That's what God expects of us. And that's what God has allowed us. That's one of the ways God has blessed us. I think we can surely say that we will pillow our heads at night more restfully when we have asked God's watch care upon those whom we love so dearly, as well as upon ourselves. Brethren, pray without ceasing. But to take advantage of this blessing, you must be in Christ. You must be His child. You must be faithful in Christ. So we would plead with you that if you're not yet a Christian, here's the doorway to prayer, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ.